Welcome to Bedtime Stories with Sun Sounds of Arizona. I'm Deborah, but some of my grandkids call me Nana Deb, so you can too. Hopefully you are all ready for bed. Snuggle up and let's read some stories before sleep. Today, I have a special surprise for you, a guest that's going to read a story. I hope you'll have fun listening to it.
Hello, my name is Cindy Reapy. I have 4 grandchildren. I'll be reading some short stories for you. Are you ready for another Arthur adventure? Alrighty, here we go. This one is titled Arthur's Underwear by Mark Brown. Binky Barnes was at the board doing a difficult problem. That's correct, said Mr. Rathburn. Very good. Binky cheered, yes, and dropped his chalk. As he bent down, the class heard a loud rip. Binky's pants had ripped wide open, exposing his red polka dot underwear. Everyone laughed except Mr. Rathburn. Go to the office and ask Miss Tingley to sew them up, he said. That afternoon at softball practice, when Binky came up to bat, Arthur thought about Binky in his underwear and laughed. During dinner, Mom asked, anything interesting happen at school today? Arthur started to laugh. What's so funny? Asked D.W. But Arthur couldn't stop laughing to answer. The next morning, Arthur woke up late. He hurried through breakfast and ran most of the way to school. Sorry I'm late, Mr. Rathburn. I guess my alarm... Everyone burst out laughing. Mr. Reed, being late is one thing, said Mr. Rathburn, but not wearing any trousers, that is quite another. Arthur looked down and realized he had ran to school in his underwear. Arthur screamed. Arthur's screams woke him up. Wow, he thought, what a horrible dream. In school, the class watched a science film. The amoeba is a single-celled life form. Arthur's eyelids began to droop. Suddenly, amoeba that looked a lot like Arthur appeared on the screen. Its pants fell down, showing its underwear. Help, cried Arthur Amoeba. I need my pants. All the another amoebas started to laugh. Arthur Amoeba was too embarrassed to move. Then he felt someone shaking him. Wake up, Arthur, said Buster. The movie's over. At lunch, Arthur didn't feel like eating. What should I do, Buster? Every time I go to sleep, I'm in my underwear. Try staying awake, Buster suggested. You can't dream if you don't sleep. That night, Arthur tried some tricks to stay awake. He sang, Old MacDonald had a farm. But as hard as he tried, Arthur just couldn't. Arthur lay in bed, playing with his action figures. I'll get you, Verminator, after I take a little nap. In Arthur's dreams, the Verminator was torturing the class by scratching his claws on the blackboard. Hearing cries for help, Bionic Arthur rushed to the rescue. But as he entered the classroom to take on the Verminator, everyone started laughing. Bionic Arthur had rushed in without his pants. He was in his underwear. "My pants," Arthur gasped as he woke up with a start. "Rise and shine, Mr. Fancy Pants," said D.W. as she shook out his pants. "They're right here. Mom says you better shake a leg or you'll be late for school." Arthur asked Buster for some emergency advice on the way to school. "It even happens when I'm a superhero," he exclaimed. "I can't stay awake forever. I'm doomed." "Maybe you should sleep in your pants," said Buster. "That way, you won't have to worry about putting them on." That night, D.W. came into Arthur's room. "Why are you wearing your pants to bed?" she asked. "Because, that way I can be ready for school faster," he said quickly. "I'm going to ask Mom if I can sleep in my clothes too," D.W. said, "and maybe my coat and boots. Mom!" Arthur sighed and changed into his pajama pants. The next day, Arthur was more worried than ever. "What if people find out about my underwear problem?" he asked Buster. "They'll call me names, and then I'll have to change schools." "Don't worry," said Buster. "Your secret is safe with me." At lunch the following day, Arthur sat with Francine and Muffy. They looked at him and started to giggle. "What's so funny?" Arthur asked. "Do you have your pants on?" asked Francine. "Better make sure." Arthur checked. He was wearing pants. He moved to another table. "I heard about your nightmares," said the brain, "so I got out a couple of books on dreams. Apparently, you have a pathological fear of embarrassment." Arthur got up to find Buster. "Buster," cried Arthur, "you told everyone about my underwear dreams." "Not everyone," replied Buster. "Only a few kids." "Buster, how could you?" "Well, I couldn't help you. I needed some advice." "This is so embarrassing," said Arthur. When Arthur turned to run out of the cafeteria, his pants pocket got caught. Rip! His underwear were showing to everyone. Everyone in the cafeteria began to laugh. Arthur couldn't move. But Binky grabbed two trays to cover him. "Quick," he whispered, "into the kitchen." Mrs. McGrady wrapped her apron around Arthur and got out a needle and thread. "I'm sorry," Buster said. "I shouldn't have told anyone." "It's okay," said Arthur sadly. "You were just trying to help. The hard part will be telling my parents that I have to change schools." Mrs. McGrady handed Arthur his pants. "Thanks," said Arthur. Is there a back door? Afraid not, said Mrs. McGrady. But do you know the old saying? A banana without its peel is still a banana. Huh? Said Arthur and Buster. It means people get embarrassed all the time, Binky explained. But you're still Arthur, said Mrs. McGrady, a smart, kind young man, with or without your pants. Arthur smiled. A few days later, Arthur met Buster at the Sugar Bowl. Well, no more underwear nightmares, Arthur said. That's great, said Buster. I never thought that ripping your pants in the cafeteria would be the thing to cure you. As they stood up to leave, Arthur looked at Buster and frowned. Buster, I think you forgot something. And as Buster looked down, he realized he was in his underwear. Buster woke up with a scream. Uh-oh, he sighed. Here we go again. The end. Arthur and Friends, Buried Treasure Adventure by Mark Brown. Check out this cool present from my dad, said Francine. Is it some kind of supersonic sweeper? Asked Binky. No, said Buster. It's for finding alien spaceships. I'll show you what it does at the beach, said Francine. When they got to the beach, Francine pressed the on button. Stand back, she said. It made a strange crackling sound, then a few beeps. Look, said Francine, pulling a bottle cap out of the sand. It's a metal detector. You use it to find buried treasure. That's not treasure, sniffed Buster. I bet there's lots of neat stuff hidden here, said Arthur. We just have to find it. They combed the beach for 2 hours. Wow, said Buster. One old fish hook, 6 bottle caps, a thimble, and a broken pair of sunglasses. This isn't worth anything, said Binky. I don't understand it, said Francine. The instruction book says you can find gold and silver and lots of other valuable stuff. Maybe we're doing it wrong, said Arthur. I'll bet the good stuff is buried way down below, she said. We better start digging. Everybody got down on their knees. Keep going. You have to dig at least 5 more feet, Francine said. I read that in a book about buried treasure. We don't have any shovels, said Binky. Keep digging, said Francine. Francine climbed into the deep hole and turned on the detector. It clicked and cracked, then stopped. Shh, whispered Francine. I think I'm getting something. The detector started to make a loud beeping sound. I found something, cried Francine. It's a pirate's doubloon, Francine shouted. Wrong, said Binky. It's a gold ring, she tried again. Negative, said Buster. A lump of gold, she said. I don't think so, said Arthur. Well, what is it? Asked Francine. It's some kind of coin, Arthur said. It looks like a penny, said Buster. It has a princess on it, said Binky. That's not a princess, silly, said Francine. That's the Statue of Liberty. Well, She is wearing a crown, replied Binky. This is really old, said Francine. Aren't old coins worth a lot of money sometimes?
I don't know, said Arthur, but I know who will.
The ultimate guide to coin collecting should tell us, said the brain. He studied a page, then the penny, then another page.
What is it? Asked Francine.
The numbers and letters are hard to read, said the brain, as he got out a magnifying glass and looked. He came to a picture and gasped.
Wow! I don't believe it, he said.
What is it? Cried Francine.
This is one of the rarest coins in the Western Hemisphere, the Lucky Lady Liberty Penny.
I'm rich, said Francine.
It's only worth about $10,000, said the brain.
$10,000? Cried Francine, dancing around the room.
She took the penny and put it in her pocket.
I dug for hours, said Buster.
I'm the one who saw the crown, said Binky.
I found the coin in the guide, added Brain.
You really should share with all of us.
It's my metal detector, so it belongs to me, Francine said.
No fair, they all cried.
The next day, Francine made a list of all the things she'd buy with the $10,000. Muffy helped.
And don't forget a few presents for your best friend, said Muffy.
If that were my coin, I'd put it in a bank vault. It's very valuable.
After Muffy left, Francine decided to put the coin away in a special hiding place.
But later, when Francine went to hide the penny, she couldn't find it.
She looked under the bed. She looked in her closet. She looked in every drawer.
It's gone, cried Francine.
Francine went to the playground.
How's your Lady Liberty penny? Asked Binky.
I lost it, said Francine.
How could you lose it? Asked Buster.
I looked everywhere, said Francine, but it's gone.
That's too bad, said Muffy.
Maybe we could help you find it, said Arthur.
Share the work, said Binky.
Share the reward, said Buster.
Francine agreed, if we find it.
Arthur and his friends turned Francine's room upside down.
It's gone, sighed Buster.
Let's go.
Wait, said Arthur. He turned on the metal detector.
I'm getting a reading, he said, following a beeping sound.
The closer he got to Muffy, the louder it beeped.
I don't have it, cried Muffy. But when she lifted her foot, there it was on the bottom of her shoe, stuck to a wad of gum.
I found it, Arthur said. We found it.
Found what? Asked Francine's dad.
The Lucky Lady Liberty Penny, explained Francine. It's worth $10,000.
Mr. Frinsky examined it closely.
I hate to tell you, but this is just a plain old Liberty penny.
The book said the 1902 coin was worth $10,000, said the brain.
This coin is from 1932, said Mr. Frinsky.
The three is almost worn away,
It's worth about $10.
Sorry.
Figures, said Francine.
Easy come, easy go, said the brain.
So, what are you going to do with the $10, Francine? Asked Buster.
I know exactly what to do with it, said Francine.
Where's the phone?
Francine passed around the pizza she had ordered.
Dig in, she said.
No more digging, please, said Binky.
The end.
The Scarecrow's Hat by Ken Brown.
That's a nice hat, said Chicken to Scarecrow.
Yes, it is, replied Scarecrow, but I'd rather have a walking stick. I've been standing here in this wheat field for years now, and my arms are so tired. I'd love a walking stick to lean on. I'd swap my hat for a walking stick any day. Now, Chicken didn't have a walking stick, but she knew someone who did.
That's a nice walking stick, said Chicken to Badger.
Yes, it is, replied Badger, but I'd rather have a piece of ribbon. It gets hot and stuffy underground, so I prop my door open with my stick. But I'm always tripping over it. If I had a ribbon, I could tie the door open. I'd swap my walking stick for a ribbon any day.
Now, Chicken didn't have a ribbon, but she knew someone who did.
That's a nice ribbon, said Chicken to Crow.
Yes, it is, said Crow, but I'd rather have some wool. My nest is on this high stone ledge, and it's very hard to sit on. I'd love some warm, soft wool to line it with. I'd swap this ribbon for some wool any day. Now, Chicken didn't have any wool, but she knew someone who did.
That's a nice wool coat, said Chicken to Sheep.
Yes, it is, replied Sheep, but I'd rather have a pair of glasses. I have to keep a lookout for the wolf, and my eyes are not as good as they used to be. I really need a pair of glasses. I'd swap some of my wool for a pair of glasses any day. Now, Chicken didn't have a pair of glasses, but she knew someone who did.
That's a nice pair of glasses, said Chicken to Owl.
Yes, it is, said Owl. My old ones broke, so I had to get a new pair. But I'd rather have a blanket. The sun streams through my window and keeps me awake all day, which wouldn't matter if I had a good, thick blanket to sleep under. I'd swap my glasses for a blanket any day. Now, Chicken didn't have a blanket, but she knew someone who did.
That's a nice blanket, said Chicken to Donkey.
Yes, it is, replied Donkey, but I'd rather have a few feathers. The flies drive me crazy, buzzing around my ears. My tail isn't quite long enough to flick them away. But if I had some long feathers tied to the end of it, I could swap them easily. I'd swap my blanket for a few long feathers any day.
Quick as a flash, Chicken pulled out one, two, three of her longest feathers and tied them to Donkey's tail.
donkey was delighted and, true to his word, swapped his blanket for the feathers. Chicken took the blanket to Owl, who swapped it for his glasses. The old ones, of course. She took the glasses to Sheep, who swapped them for her wool. She took the wool to Crow, who swapped it for her ribbon. She took the ribbon to Badger, who swapped it for his walking stick. Finally, she took the walking stick to Scarecrow. With a grateful sigh of relief, he leaned his tired old arms on the stick and gladly swapped it for his battered old hat. Chicken took the hat and filled it with fresh, sweet-smelling straw to make a nest for herself. "That's a nice nest," said Duck. "Yes, it is," said Chicken, "and I wouldn't swap it for anything." The end. This is Cindy, and I'll be signing off for now. Thank you for listening to the stories I've read. I hope you've had as much fun listening as I did reading. Until next time, thank you again.
Thank you so much for coming and reading with us today. We had a good time with you. Thank you for listening to our bedtime stories. Sweet dreams.